Last week, we kicked off the first Sunday in our new sermon series, reading through several stories in the book of Acts. And each week, we're asking the question, what does this story say about who God created the church to be? So to accompany this sermon series, I created a little Acts reading schedule, which I'm hoping you all have a copy of and have been faithfully reading along day by day as the days in Acts have rolled on. But just in case you're a little behind, or maybe this is your first Sunday here and you didn't have the schedule to start reading last week, I thought I'll just catch you up a little bit on where we are today. So it all started when Peter and John are on their way up to the temple to pray. And a beggar interrupts them, asking for alms at the gate called Beautiful. But rather than giving him gold or silver, Peter looks at him intently, the scripture says. And he says to them, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And taking his hand, Peter helps him up, and immediately his ankles and his feet are made strong. So while the formerly lame man is now clinging to him, Peter begins to explain this miraculous healing to all the people who saw it happen and are amazed. And he says he wasn't healed because of my power or my piety, but he was healed by faith in the name of Jesus. Now, the word of this healing starts to get around, and it greatly annoys the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees, who immediately have Peter and John, these apostles, arrested and taken into custody. So the next day, there's a big showdown. And it's between all the religious leaders, the whole crowd of them, including Annas and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and the Sadducees and all the scribes and the Pharisees. So it's all of them versus Peter and John. And so the authorities ask the apostles, "By what power or by what name did you do this healing?" And the scripture tells us, and Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man standing before you in good health was healed by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead." Now this whole crowd of very lofty and very educated people, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they were amazed and found they could not say anything in response. So they huddle up together and talk about, "Well, what do we do now? What should we do?" And they decide to set the apostles free with a threat / warning not to speak in the name of Jesus again. But Peter and John answer them, saying, "We cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard." So here's where today's story picks up. After threatening them again, they let the apostles go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all of them praised God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing had been performed was more than 40 years old. Everyone knew he was lame. And now everyone knew he was healed. So after Peter and John were released, they went to their friends and they reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they raised their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and everything in them, it is you who said by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples imagine vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers have gathered together against the Lord and his Messiah. For in the city, they say, in fact, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, O Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants to speak your words with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last week, we were left with a very cozy little picture of the first church in Acts chapter 2, as those early believers were living together and worshiping together and selling what they had to provide for the needs of all. But here, in chapter 4, the young church runs into its first confrontation with the world around it. Not just with the world out there, they're butting heads with the religious authorities of that day. So Peter and John find themselves face to face and toe to toe with all the religious leaders in Jerusalem, including the high priest. The big guns have been brought in. And these folks who are annoyed, not just with what these disciples are preaching, that is the resurrection of Jesus, but they're also annoyed that they're having great success in their preaching. And Acts 4 tells us, on this day, watching this man be healed and watching the apostles be arrested, about 5,000 people were converted because of what they had seen and heard. So from the establishment's point of view, what's starting out as kind of a small annoyance seems to have the potential to grow into what you might call a mass movement, one that would certainly be a threat to their power and their authority. So in these moments, facing an increasingly hostile group of authority figures, these two apostles have a choice. They can courageously engage the hostility head on, or they can back down and slink away back to their cozy little community. But here they choose to be bold. And it's the same choice that David faced as he shrugged off the king's ill-fitting armor and went out to face Goliath the Philistine with just a slingshot and a handful of stones. It's the same choice Daniel's three friends make when they refuse to bow down and worship the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had erected in the center of town. It's the same choice that Queen Esther risks her own life in order to save her people who were facing the very real possibility of genocide. It's the same choice the persistent widow makes when she pesters that unjudged judge over and over and over again. To a person, they all choose courageously to speak and act boldly, with full confidence that God is on their side and God will take care of them. So we read that David slays the giant, that Daniel's friends are rescued from the fiery furnace. We know that Queen Esther saves not only her own life, but the lives of her people. And we know that that widow is awarded the justice that she deserves. In our story today, we see that the apostles choose to stand up to those who would oppose them. I guess you could say there's sort of a historical precedent that has been set for God's people. It is part of our heritage to stand up and to act with boldness. These heroes of the faith show us what one person can accomplish when he or she has the confidence that what they want to stand up and say and do is pleasing to God, even if it's not very pleasing to the world around them. So back to our story in Acts. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter and John stand up and they align themselves with the rest of God's children who choose to speak with boldness in the face of hostility or danger. Even the religious authorities are amazed at them. In the scripture, they are described as uneducated and ordinary men. But by their boldness, these religious authorities recognize Peter and John as companions of Jesus. So the religious authorities, they find no legitimate reason to keep them in custody. So they let them go with a threat or a warning. And it's a warning we will soon see goes unheeded by this young church who cannot help but be courageous and bold, telling others what they have seen and heard from Jesus. And the craziest thing happens. Their boldness becomes contagious. When Peter and John return to the others, instead of praying for protection against this threat and this warning that has been issued against not just Peter and John, but the whole church, they pray this. And now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants to speak your words with all boldness. While you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. They don't pray for protection from the threats. They pray for more boldness. And the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. But lest you think boldness is always expressed in big, splashy acts of faith or with great volume in one's voice, consider Jesus. In John chapter 8, the same kind of religious authorities who arrested Peter and John, they drag a woman caught in adultery to the temple where Jesus is teaching. Thrusting her into the center of the crowd and quoting the law of Moses, which condemns the woman to death by stoning for her sin, they demand that Jesus render judgment against her. Do you remember what he does? He kind of hunches down and writes in the dust with his fingers. But they continue to hound him, pushing him to render judgment against this woman. And finally, he straightens up and looks them in the eye and says, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone." Then once again, he hunches back down and begins to sweep his fingers through the dust as one by one the mob drifts away. And the woman is left with the one who has saved her life. And he says to her, "Go and sin no more." You see, boldness is not characterized by volume, but by the Spirit. The Spirit emboldens David, the runt of the litter, to take on the giant. The Spirit emboldens Esther to risk her own life in order to save people. The Spirit saves Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego from the fiery furnace. And it's the Spirit who emboldens the widow to persevere for justice. But it's the Spirit who gave Jesus quiet words of wisdom, and whose whisper was far more powerful than a shout from a street corner. More than anything else, it is the gift of the Holy Spirit given as the advocate and the comforter after Jesus ascended back to heaven that emboldens the apostles to speak so well and so calmly, so confidently and frankly, and so courageously to those who oppose them. It's not always about how loudly you speak, but rather the words that you say. The great 20th century American philosopher John Wayne is credited with saying, "Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway." Surely in their human frailty and sinfulness, Peter and John were a little scared. Facing this imposing group of religious authorities. Surely David and Daniel's friends and Esther and the widow probably were all a little scared too. They all risked something in order to be bold. Whether it was their reputation, their livelihood, or in a lot of cases, their very lives. And in every case, it was worth it. Their courage and their boldness was fueled by the Spirit and by the Word of God. And when this is your foundation, you will never fail. So it makes me wonder, what does this kind of boldness and courage look like today? Where are followers of Christ being emboldened by the Spirit to stand up for something which pleases God, even when it displeases everyone else around them? And that leads me to ask the question, how is the Spirit calling us here in this church to saddle up and speak with boldness? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.